I'm at the Kenzer & Company booth. I'm here with Steve, who is going to tell us something about Aces & Eights.
Well, Aces & Eights is a Western role-playing game, and it operates on several levels. As a basic Western role-playing game, I think what most players are used to is a game that lets them be Wild West gunfighters, have shootouts, you know, and really shootouts to the complexity that they want to have. The most basic Aces & Eights rules are you have two stack characters, and you're able to have gun battles basically at pretty much a miniatures level, where you've got two stack characters, so there isn't a whole lot of complexity. It's playing more like a war game, but there's a lot of cool rules. One of the coolest things is that when you aim at a character, you don't simply roll a d20 to hit. We've got a game mechanism. It's called a shot clock, which is a transparency with a target on it. And what you do is you place that over a silhouette, and you actually aim at the target. So there's a very visceral feel. Like when you're shooting at someone, you're aiming at his gut or you're aiming at his head, which is a lot cooler than simply, okay, there's a target there, I roll a d20, I hit it, and then I have to go to the location chart and figure out where I hit.
It's actually
target.
Like a visual representation.
Right, right. That's right here. So I think you may have already taken a picture of it, but this overlay here is how to handle shotguns.
I see.
And we actually track all the pellets, which is really cool. So when you fire a shotgun at someone, you're like, okay, this is where I'm aiming it. Now, that's where you're aiming. It's not necessarily where you're going to hit it. You actually roll a d20 and add your bonuses, and you more than likely end up at one of these outer rings. Then you flip a playing card, and that tells you where on the ring you land. So if you do it a number of times, you actually get a shot grouping just like you were at a rifle range.
Okay.
So it's a very realistic kind of thing. And then the next level up above, just using it like essentially a miniatures game is you can do the whole character generation thing, all the stats that people are used to, background tables and everything, and with that, then there's added complexity to gunfights, and there's a lot more rules are added to the game then where. There's certain things that people really expect to see from a Western game. You want to have the opportunity to go prospecting for gold. You want to have the opportunity to do a cattle drive. And to do gambling, exactly.
Right.
And I'm forgetting to tell it. And what we have in the game is we've got a number of mini games within the game to actually handle that. For people that like, if you want to go gambling, we've got a gambling mini game. Even though a lot of people know how to play poker, but what we did is we included rules on cheating, and so you can play poker using your cheating skills, and basically you get an extra card and you get some other advantages, but you also have a chance of getting caught too. So we've been playing it ourselves, and you're like, you don't want to get caught, so you're kind of leery about using your cheating rules and actually getting caught and outed. And so I had one character that had, I was a really excellent cheater, but the other players just beat me out straight. I mean, they just beat me out.
Right.
Because I didn't use it to its full advantage. I was afraid of getting caught, So and the poker rules. I mean, you can certainly sit there and play hand by hand, but to facilitate, we've got you actually play poker, but we've got some mechanisms that allow you to basically accelerate it. Playing with a few extra cards,
right,
that allow the cheating rules to get used, and so you, by playing about six or seven hands, you can simulate playing an entire night's worth of poker. And then with the pots and everything. And the same with like running a cattle drive. We've got another chapter that's basically a logistics management game for running a cattle drive. There are games out there where you're like, okay, I've got 1,000 head of cattle. I'm gonna run them down from Montana down to Laredo. Roll 67. Okay, what is the result?
Right.
So that huge cattle drive was a die 100 roll. Well, you know, that's the mechanism. No, but for us, there's a whole chapter. It's essentially a logistics management game. We've got that map up there is what we use for the cattle drive, and you're mapping where I'm going to go. There's different types of terrain that have different amounts of vegetation. Like, if you stay in really good vegetation, your cattle will get fatter and are worth more at the market. But that's going to take you a lot longer. If you're not the first ones to get there, then it's supply and demand. The price starts to go down, and so you want to rush it. But if you rush them, then your cattle are going to get all scrawny and sickly. So,
right.
I mean, it's traditional logistics management games. You know, there's a ton of them out there. And we've got like a little mini game specifically in the big game to do that. And we got something like that for prospecting, too.
So it's sort of like these little mini, like almost, you know, strategy board games built into the context of this overall role-playing system.
Right, right. So we could bring those elements of the Western game into the bigger shoot 'em up Western game and have them, like, play real instead of really cheating you of the experience by just having a couple die rolls and you're done, you know. And the worst thing is, I mean, if you've ever played gambling or poker where they've dumped it down so much that you basically make a die 100
right.
roll and that's
a
poker
it.
Game.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can't do that. You got to use cards. You just
right.
you cannot play a gambler without getting your hands on some cards. It's just not real.
Right. Yep.
So you've got those elements of the game, and then you've got the shoot 'em up game. You've got rules on, there's a lot of rules on horses because that's central to the genre. We've got rules on, a whole chapter on chases, because that,
that's a pretty big element,
right.
too. Yeah.
So you've got that. And so we've got all those elements that really centers around the gunfight. But the thing is, the Western games, if all you do is the gunfight, it's fun for six or seven times. You rob the bank, you rob this, you rob that. You play the lawman, you catch them. But then it's like, what do you do next? It's either you take a certain tact where you become a more skilled gunfighter, but then what you're doing is making gunfighter gladiators is what you're doing.
Right.
And that, it just doesn't make sense. When you're playing a modern game, people can't get shot 30, 40 times.
Right.
I mean, the concept of having more hit points just doesn't play out. So what we do is we've got the game, the reward system is building points. It's skill based. It's not level based, so you don't get any tougher. You get building points that can be used to buy skills, can buy talents with that. And the way you get them is by declaring a profession and making progress in that profession. Because when you think about it, the reason people went west wasn't to go and rob trains. I mean, there's maybe a handful of people that did that. And same with lawmen. People went out for economic opportunity. What did they do? They went out to get a farm and become farmers, or to build a business, to do something, to make something of themselves. And that's what the real role-playing aspect of the game is. Which is, I mean, now you're talking, you've gone 180 degrees from being a first-player shooter game to now it's a massively important interaction role-playing game, and where you're trying to advance in the profession you choose. And if that's not working for you, it's just like real life. This isn't working. I'm gonna go for a new profession and then try to advance in that. And that's, you want to go into and start building a town and start building your wealth and fame and notoriety, so that you've got this. We built up an alternate campaign so that most of the American Southwest is still in Mexican hands, but Mexico is very, very decentralized, and they don't really have any control of it. And with America split into the Confederacy, Texas, and the United States, if you can, be in what is today New Mexico and build up a significant power base, and how do you do it? You've got money and influence. Now you can start dealing with Washington and Richmond and Austin, and your character is now dealing with the U.S. Congress. I mean, so now you know, like, who's going to give you the best deal to become part of their nation? Because everybody wants this territory,
and you're the
power broker there. It's almost like a kingmaker, you know.
You can do like a Wild West empire building sort of game within it as well.
Exactly, yeah, and so those are the aspects of the game, and whatever you're comfortable playing with. I mean, if a lot of people want to have a Wild West role-playing game where they shoot them up and that's what they do, it's great. I mean, it's there. It's a beautiful game for doing that. There's a great role system for doing that. If you want to do, you know, role-playing with it, you can do that too. And actually, when your character gets to be more powerful, if you're like a fan of Deadwood, you know, like your character's like Al Swearengen. Now, once your character gets more powerful, you're not going to risk him in fights, because it is like Boot Hill in that the game is very deadly. I mean, somebody can get a lucky shot and you're dead. So that's why your henchmen and your cronies become the people that you use to do gunfights with.
Okay.
So you can have a campaign where your main characters are these power brokers. But say then, like, you come back for a night and you're like, you know, we just need a good old gunfight. So then you bring out all your cronies and you have the gunfight with your cronies without risking your main guys. So you can basically have your cake and eat it too.
That sounds great. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.